says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hope thou in God, for I will yet. It's not over yet. No matter how bad it gets, it's not over yet. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Amen. Amen. Psalm 42, the psalmist was discouraged. And he asked himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Everybody gets discouraged. Everybody gets discouraged. I don't care who you are. People look at me sometimes, they'll say, "Man, I ain't never seen you when you wasn't smiling." I say, "Well, I fake it. I fake it a lot." Everybody gets discouraged. Everyone gets brokenhearted. Everybody has disappointments. Everybody has failure. But the secret of the Word of God is that we don't let those things define who we are. We got to learn how to say no sometimes to discouragement. Some people love it. I know some people just revel in misery. I'm not that kind of person, never have been. Some people, you know, you don't want to say, "How you doing?" I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Some people just don't want to do that. It's a mistake. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. Unless you want to know every doctor's name and every medication and prescription and surgery. Amen? But everybody gets tempted to get discouraged somewhere, sometime, in every area of life. I don't care if you live in the poor house or the White House. Everybody gets discouraged. Now, folks come to church on Sunday morning. Most people that go to church are saved people. Very few people that go to church are lost people. I didn't go to church when I was lost. Wasn't raised that way. Most people that are in church at least profess to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ of some kind. So you'd think the house of God would be the happiest place in town. You'd think, boy, this would be the place to go to get encouraged. Amen? You'd think, if I could just make it down there to that old church, I'll be all right. But even Christians get discouraged. Even we have failures. Even we have disappointments. Even we have heartache and heartbreak. The secret is we have a comforter. That's the difference. And a lot of people will get me to preach funerals because they say I do funerals so well. I don't know how good a compliment that is for a pastor. But the secret is not me. It's not my sermons. I only have 3 sermons. I just use scriptures on different scriptures on them all the time. But the secret is the comforter that I have with me. And I get that from the Word of God.
Amen.
And so when we get discouraged, we don't need to let these things define who we are. We don't want people, for instance, I thought about people, their whole life begins to revolve around some disappointment, some failure, some tragedy, something that has happened in their life, and their whole life is destroyed by that. I don't think the Lord likes that. I don't think that's His purpose in our life. A lady used to come to church, and I went to see her husband, and he liked me eating donuts and drinking coffee with him. But when I got talking about the Bible, he didn't want to talk about the Bible. He had been fired from Duke Power, and he was bitter, and he'd been fired for 20-something years when I met him. And that's all he wanted to talk about was those people. I said, "Well, look, there's some more important things than that. You know, why don't you get on with your life, man? You got a wife that loves you. She's a great cook. She brings stuff to church. She's a good cook. You got people that love you. Why don't you get..." "Well, I just can't get over it." I said, "Well, you don't want to. You're mad and you want everybody to be mad with you." Well, I'm not joining in on that. Amen. He fired you. He didn't fire me. I'm not mad at him, amen. And thought about another, you know, a preacher that had a moral failure. And actually, it was his wife that had the failure. It wasn't him. And he said, I can't preach no more. I said, you can preach. Everybody can preach. Maybe a church may not have you. Some may. I said, but it's not the end of you. It's not the end of you. You're letting your wife determine your ministry. You're letting your wife determine your whole future. Now you're bitter, and he's still out of church. Been that way for years and years and years. Others, it might be family problems. My children don't treat me right. I've been misused by my husband or my wife or whatever, and they just won't go on. You go to their house revolves around it. You go to their workplace revolves around it. You go to church with them, that revolves around that. They stop progressing. They don't go any farther. That's just it. They stop. They don't grow any more spiritually. They're unhappy, and they can't get over it. Now, I have pastor sermons, and this is one of them, and I have other sermons, but today maybe you're in that quagmire. Maybe you're right there, and there's something that's happened, and you just can't get over it. All the medicine in the world's not going to do it. All the friends, all the well-wishers, all the pat on the back, it's the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to help us, okay? Now, I know people look at the pastor as if he doesn't know anything about tragedy. He doesn't know anything about heartache or heartbreak or disappointment or failure. Look, I didn't grow up in a bubble. I didn't even grow up in a Christian home. And I've been through the misery, and I've been through the heartache, and I know that God can get us through it. Amen? He can give you the joy of the Lord. He can do that. But you got to want it, see? So I looked up some scriptures I thought would go along with this, and I thought might would help us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 says this, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But ye said, "Wherein shall I return?" Well, you know where you left him. That's where you start back, see? So the first thing, I think, if we want to get out of discouragement, out of failure, out of disappointment, we've got to go back to where that happened, and we're going to say, well, this is bad. This is bad. I hate it, and I don't like it, and I never did like it. And I'm going to say it, God. I don't like this, God, but I'm not going to stop here. Amen. This ain't where I'm stopping. This is not destroying me. God, I'm coming back to you. And you said you'd take care of me. And you promised you'd encourage me. And you promised you'd fill me with the joy of the Lord. And God, hey, if I stop, it's your fault, Lord. It ain't mine. I'm going on. And look, God will come to you if you'll go to Him. See? You return to the Lord. Discouragement will make you drift away. And you'll get away from the Lord. And you'll stop praying. And you'll stop going to church. And you'll stop reading your Bible. But James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to thee." You see, I preach sometimes. I say, death is but a step away. It's one step from death. It's one breath. Death is one breath away. Death is one heartbeat away. That's all it is. We don't know which one, when or where that might be. But it's only one. But so is God. God is only one step away. He's only one heartbeat away, one breath away, one prayer away. He said, "You call, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He said, "You draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you." Amen? He's not going to force Himself on you. If you want to be that way, He'll let you be that way. He'll love you just like you are. He'll take you just like you are, but He's got a lot better things for you. I can tell you that right now. And you'll come back to the Bible, and you'll come back to prayer, and you'll come back to going to church, and you'll come back to loving and giving to other people. Because, see, God put us here for a ministry. Everything we go through is for our ministry. Everybody in here is a ministry. And all those things are meant for your ministry, so that you'll minister to others when they hurt, when they're disappointed, when they fail, when they fall. You know, Baptists, we just shoot our wounded. We cast them off. I knew he was a liar. I knew he was a hypocrite. I knew he was going. I knew she'd do that. I'm not calling her. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. Amen. And then I thought about Matthew 5:16. Listen to Matthew 5:16. In verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Listen, wilt not just draw nigh to God, wilt not just return to the Lord, but we'll, when we get back, we ought to radiate for Him. People ought to be able to see there's something different. When you go to a funeral, people ought to see that you don't have the same spirit they do. They ought to hear it. They ought to feel it. They ought to experience it, see? And that's the Lord in you, the hope of glory shining out, see? I don't have dead religion. I don't even have religion. I don't like candles. I have no statues or pictures. I've got Jesus Christ living in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
The candle will go out, the lights will go out, the pictures will fade, the statue will break, but He'll never change. Amen? Amen. Radiate for the Lord. Let other people see that hope in you. And look, you'll help somebody else. The best times I've ever had in my Christian life is when I was helping somebody else.
Amen.
It's the truth. Me and my wife and kids rode on them old church buses for about 18 years. And we met all kind of people and did all kind of things that would scare some of y'all. Yeah, I preached funerals of people I'd never met and went in people's houses that you'd have been afraid of, but they would honor you because you had the Lord on you and in you. And hey, they could see it and they could experience it, and it gave them hope. Pick up those little kids of crackheads and everything else. People say, "Well, aren't you afraid to do that?" No, sir, those people are happy you're doing that. Because they want something better for their children than what they have, you know? And we'll relate. We'll replace all those negative things with positive. We'll look for the good, not the bad. We'll witness to people while we're going through a problem. We'll witness to people. And we'll tell people about our salvation. And you know what will happen? Pretty soon, your problems will look mighty small. I know. A lot of people just don't rely on the Lord. That's all it is. They have churchianity, they've got religion, they carry a Bible, but they really don't rely on the Lord. We got to rely on Him instead of ourselves, because without Him, we can do nothing. You see, you're nothing to start with. He took a zero and made something out of us. Amen? And if you think any different, then that's pride, and you got to get back to zero. Because if we got what we deserve, every one of us would be in danger. Everybody in here. Since we've been saved, we'd be in danger.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Don't ever think you're any better than anybody else. You're not. And listen, when you start relying on the Lord to bring you through those trials and tribulations and disappointments and separations and deaths and failures and family problems, you start relying on Him, and you'll find out things happen. You never even figured out how that happened. You say, "I don't know how that happened, but boy, He brought me through it." Amen? He brought me through it. I grew up, we had 9 children. I'm the last of 9. And I was next to the baby. And he was a year younger than me. He passed away. But every once in a while, I'll go to my sister Gloria's grave, you know. And she really raised us when we were little. My mama was not always a Christian. And I went over there the other day, and she passed away in 2002. And it feels like just yesterday. And I have other brothers and sisters, not as quite as close, but the same way. And when I look, and I know you don't do it, but I do it, and I may be ignorant. If I am, it makes me happy. Leave me alone. But I talk to her. I go to the grave, and I talk to her. And there's a spot. But it doesn't discourage me. It encourages me, because she always encouraged me. When everybody else thought badly, she thought well. She was there when I was licensed to preach. When some thought he'll never make a preacher, she thought I was going to be the best preacher in the world. She was there when I was ordained a pastor, when some thought, well, he'll never be a pastor, ignorant redneck. She was right there when I got ordained a pastor. She was a member of my first church. She was a member of my second church. She was always there. She encouraged me. Now, her death hurt me, but her death did not stop me. Her death made me want to go on farther and do more because of what she thought, see? And I go back to that. And then I say, Lord, she didn't do this. You did this. You just put her in my life to encourage me to do this. And I rely on Him. I don't rely on her. She can't do anything for me. She's in heaven. But He can do something for me. The day I accepted Christ, I lost every friend I had but one. Besides my wife, she was there. And my children, they liked it. But all those old friends walked out. But Jesus walked in. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the one that walks in, by the way, when everybody else does walk out. Yeah, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the age. Jesus walked in that day, and I don't get me wrong, but for your salvation, for your service, for your everything, for your supply, for your needs, you need to rely on Him. Don't you rely on other people. Now look, we're a bunch of sinners saved by grace through faith in Him alone. That's the only way we're saved. And let me go ahead and tell you, in case you don't know, we'll let you down. Everybody in here, we love you and we mean the best for you and we want the best for you. But when it comes down to the brass tacks, a lot of times we're not going to be there. We'll let you down. We may even say we're going to do it. Don't do it. God forgive us. We want to do it. But don't rely on others. Rely on Him. Don't rely on your possessions. They can go overnight. You know, most people in here, you're only one doctor appointment right now away from total destruction of your money. Your money will... your insurance runs out, whether you know it or not. I've sold insurance, I can tell you right now. It doesn't last forever. You can spend out your insurance, and then where are you going to get your money? Then you start emptying your bank. Don't rely on your possessions. You can sell everything you have and still die in poverty before it's all over with. I've seen it happen. Don't rely on people that say they're going to be there and help you. Don't rely on banks. Don't rely on insurance companies. You better draw nigh to God and put your trust in Him and Him alone. See? The only way to say no to discouragement is to say yes to Him. It doesn't matter. He never fails. He never disappoints. He will always show up. Psalm 73:28 says, it's good for me to draw near to God. You know, when we go through these failures and shortcomings and tragedies and deaths and disease and all these things, we'll get our eyes off the Lord and we'll get our eyes on people and we expect them to bring us out of it. But they're not the one that created us. They're not the one that sustains us. They're not the one that's going to deliver us. He is. And the best intentioned people cannot do it. I love you. I'll help you any way I can. I'll be there if I can. I'll be there. I'm not one of those preachers who don't go to the hospital. I go. I feel sorry for people. I couldn't work in a hospital. It breaks my heart. I walk out crying sometimes. But I know the one that will stay there when I leave. Yes. Amen? Amen. He'll be there when I'm gone. You don't need me. You need Him. See? I'll do my pastoral duty, but He's your Savior, not me. I'm not the Savior. I'm far from a Savior. Don't look to me. I'm not looking to you. Amen? I'm looking to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He's the one interceding. He's the one that's got the power. He can bring you out of this stuff. And then I'm going to show you something else. Philippians 4:4, if you want to turn over there. Most of you already know it. In Philippians 4:4, I want you to notice this. Excuse me. Rejoice in the Lord yesterday? No. Today? No. Always. He says, and again, I say, rejoice. You know, sometimes if you'll just start rejoicing in whatever problem you're in, you'll lose a lot of that discouragement. We used to do children's church years and years and years. We'd gather up all those children. We'd sing that song. We'd sing, God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. Woo! I feel him all over me. Did we always feel him? No, but it didn't make it untrue. It's still true. Amen? And so sometimes you just have to rejoice in the Lord and count your blessings. It's not the end. It's just a stop sign somewhere. It's a detour, maybe. I don't know. But everything in our life, if all things work for together of the good of them that love God, it didn't say it felt good. It just said it was good. I like cake, but I don't eat lard. When I was in junior high school, the eighth or ninth grade, one of the school counselors came to me and some other boys and said, we want to put some boys in home ec. Wouldn't y'all like to go in home ec? All I saw was blonde and red. I said, yeah. I was scared to talk to them, but I said, yeah. They taught me some things in there. They taught me you can make a toilet seat that looks just like Santa Claus. Yeah, I did. I sewed it on a sewing machine. Probably broke 25 needles. They taught me you can make biscuits. Big, beautiful biscuits. You couldn't eat them, though, because I put so much baking soda in them. But they were pretty. I don't like baking soda, but I like biscuits. He didn't say all things were good. He said all things work together for good. Everybody in this room has had hard times. We've had hard times. Don't lie. If you're over 10 years old, you've had hard times. And it hurts. I would not diminish the hurt of anybody. It hurts. But if we draw nigh to God and we radiate His love and we try to rejoice anyway, we'll realize God's going to take that and make something good out of it. I had a terrible childhood. But God made something good out of it. My wife married me. But God made something good out of it. At least I think He did. If He didn't, don't tell me. She never has. Rejoice in the Lord. A lot of people, they fall into discouragement because they forget to praise the Lord for what He's done and is doing. I used to preach a sermon, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. I'm telling you, 8 out of 10 ain't bad. That's a passing grade. All three of you Billies probably got a 7 out of 10 in math and you passed. Amen? 7 out of 10 ain't bad. Hey, listen, quit looking at 100%. Everything's not 100%. Everything's not going to be everything you expected it to be. Sometimes it's going to come in at 90. Sometimes it'll come in at 80. Sometimes it'll come in at 70. And if it comes in at 60, you're still a winner. Go through the list. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you have a church that loves you? Do you have a pastor that loves you? Do you have clothes to wear, food to eat? You've already a winner, amen? You got a family that cares about you? Well, start praising the Lord for the good things. We used to sing that song a lot. We need to sing it more. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I was born in 54. We thought we was going to blow up the world before 1980. I remember I used to think, boy, the year 2000, we're never going to make it to 2000. In school, they would have drills, and they'd make us, in elementary school, they'd have drills and make us get up under the desk. And I look back on that, I can see that bomb drop, and there's a little old melted spot over there under that desk, me. We didn't think we'd make it this far, amen? If you grew up in the neighborhood I grew up in, you either had to run or fight, and I learned how to run real well. I didn't think I'd live this long. Most of my friends didn't. We need to start rejoicing the Lord for the good things. Boy, He's been good to me. I got a wonderful, I've got a wonderful Savior. God, He didn't just save me, He keeps me. I sure don't deserve that. And He doesn't just keep me, He lets me do things for Him.
Amen.
I don't deserve that.
Thank you, Lord.
He gave me a wonderful family. He's given me a wife and children that stuck with me when I was unstickable. Amen.
Amen.
He lets me preach. Me? Go back down to Lancaster, they say, Ronnie preaches? Whoever let him do that? I rejoice, boys. Hey, it's hard to rejoice in the Lord and be discouraged at the same time. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I can walk away from tragedy and say, well, hallelujah anyhow. I can go to the cemetery and go home and say, well, hallelujah anyhow. I can go down to the poorhouse if I have to and look up to heaven and say, well, hallelujah anyhow. I told a man one time, he said, I'll kill you. I said, that's the worst thing you can do to me, and I go to heaven and help yourself. I start counting, I start grading, and I think, boy, I've got a lot better than 6 out of 10. God's been good to me. I refuse to quit. I refuse. I can't quit. Where are we going to go? We can't go back. There's nothing there. Matter of fact, we've outlived most of those we would go back to. I go back to Lancaster. I ride past the old home place. It's a bunch of bushes and trees, an old falling down house. Can't go back there. Go back to the old friends there in the cemetery. I can't go back there. Where are you going to go? You're going to go back to the bottle? You're going to go back to the needle? You're going back to the pill or the powder? You're going back to fussing and fighting all the time? I'm pressing onward. Amen. On the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I can't go back. Sometimes I stumble, Brother Billy. And sometimes I look back. And you ought not do that. It'll discourage you. But today's a new day.
Yes.
This is a new week. I get to start all over.
Hallelujah.
And then when I do sin, Brother Tom, we've been there. When we do sin, we get to fall on our knees. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get a new start right then and right there, all over. There are no perfect people in here, and we've all had tragedy, and we've all had discouragement. But I'm not decorating my house in it. I'm not dressing my car in it. I'm not wearing it for a badge of honor. I'm going to go on, and guess what? I'm going to heaven. If everything in the world goes wrong for me, I wake up in glory anyway. And by the way, aren't we selfish and self-centered? There's people all over this world having a whole lot worse than we do. And we're sad because we don't have some little new shiny object or some the biggest place or the biggest bank account or somebody said something bad about us on Facebook. I ain't done it while I'm going to put it back on there. What did you expect to see on my page? I'm a fundamental Baptist preacher. No kittens here. What you expect to see on there? But I ain't like what you said. Don't read it. We get to go eat lunch today. If you don't have any money to buy, let me know. We'll give you some money to buy you some lunch. We get to go to a house today. As far as I know, they're all air conditioned, Brother Ron. That's a lot better than what we had growing up. Amen. We won't have to push or pump or prime our car, I don't think. There were times we did. Matter of fact, but right, we got so good, we might even get to tip that waitress today. I ain't quitting. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down. I get discouraged. You know what I do? I fake it. I say, hallelujah, anyhow, praise God, I could be dead in hell. Amen? And if I keep drawing nigh to Him, He draws nigh to me, and pretty soon, it's over. I'm through it. I know your hurt's real. I know your disappointment's real. I know your tears are real. And I know, hey, look, I've been there. I know it. And I know it looks like you're never going to come out, but the sun's coming up in the morning. I guarantee you, you're going to come out of it, and it will be better. I promise you, if you keep looking to Him, I promise it'll be better. Preach on how bad it's been. You don't know how good it's going to be. And I'm not preaching a Joel Osteen message. I'm preaching the Bible. Amen? Now you hang in there. You seek the Lord. You keep witnessing. You keep walking right. You keep praying. You keep searching the Scriptures. And hey, one day you're going to wake up and it's all going to be over. You're going, whoa, I never thought I'd come through that. Can anybody say amen on that? And then, because of that, this is not a selfish message. Because of that, others will see Christ in you. The hope of glory. And the Bible says they will want what you have. You see, you don't have to be a great witness. Some people's going to ask you about it. Amen. Now, if you're not saved today, you have absolutely no understanding of what I just talked about. You think we're crazy. You think we're looking for pie in the sky. We're not. We got our pie right now. We can have the joy of the Lord. It is our strength. Yes, and you just need to get born again so He can open your eyes and you can see it. Because until you do, you're going to live in your tragedy. And the sad thing about you is you're going to end in tragedy. Let's stand. Father, you know our hearts.